Now, I'll tell you, he could play that. Going down there.
Maybe that is in that collection.
Huh?
Maybe that is in that collection.
Yeah. Going down there. I used to play the band with him, and I can't start it on the banjo. I used to play all his pieces on the banjo. I could just sit and play all night with him, and I could play his pieces. Any piece he played, I could play it on the banjo. Do you know I can't get... I don't know. You've got to have the banjo in tune if you go to play a piece. It ain't in tune for that piece, it won't play. You can't start it.
Do you have a banjo with you today?
No.
We didn't bring currency.
I'm going down east, Lost Girl, Lost Ending, why, Shelvin Rock, Stony Point, and all that stuff.
Why was he so good?
Huh?
Why do you think he was so good?
Why didn't he?
What was so good about his fiddle? You know?
By the way, he played her smooth, and you could tell every word that fiddle that they, you know, on a song, you could tell every word that it was saying. And he played it just as smooth. There was no screeching on the fiddle. There was no notes missed, and they were nothing. I'm telling you, and when he played a piece, he had to have his fiddle just in the right tune. Now, a lot of days, today here, you take a lot of people play the fiddle, they never change them. They just play all the time in the one tune. Do you notice that? Every one of them. But now, Eden didn't. Oh, no, he may play a piece or two in one tune, but I'd guarantee him to change his fiddle. But he did, he could play it. There's no question.
I was talking the other day to Charlie Bell. He lives at Valley Bend, and he was telling me about Eden.
Yeah.
He said, well, he was, he said there was a lot of good ones. He said Ren McGee was good. He said there was a lot of good ones. He said, but the thing about Eden was you could listen to him again and again and again. And
maybe he always played different pieces. He wouldn't play one piece twice unless you asked him to. I'll bet you he'd sit right here and play for a half a night. And he'd never play one piece over twice unless you asked him.
Where did he get his start? Did you tell me that his daddy made him a fiddle?
Yeah, the first fiddle ever Eden played on was a cigar box, maybe. His daddy made it out of a cigar box. Made a neck and put on it, cut the sound hole in it and put strings on it. And the strings he had on it was the bass was one of these old wires off a broom. You know that wire comes on broom. That was the bass he had. Then he had these screens wire, you know. Now, it wasn't like it is today. You could just ravel it out. He had them for the fine string, the second string, and then he had some other wire he made the other note, made the fourth string. I want to tell you, he could play that cigar box now. There's no question to it. That's where he learned on. Learned right off of old West Carpenter. Oh, a lot of, at least Dad could play, you know, Eden's dad.
And of course there was old Uncle Pete.
Yeah, there was old Uncle Pete. That was his dad's brother. Well, his dad, he could play, I'm telling you, his dad could play the fiddle. But he played it rough, you know, he didn't play it like it. Eden is the best ever I heard. I've heard a lot of him. I'll tell you, a man in this country plays just something like Eden, if you ever hear him, and you say it is, if you ever hear Eden play, and that's Gus McGee. Now, he plays a fiddle something like Eden. He'll play her smooth, and I mean he can play some of Eden's pieces as good. But it's hard to get him to play. Used to be, he played, he just had him play any time. He makes fiddles now, sells them. He's got the fool with guns, making guns, and that stopped him. Yeah, he makes these old hog rifles. He lives over here on
Diamond Street.
Mm-hmm, Diamond Street.
What else did Eden do besides play the fiddle?
He could play the band or so.
I mean, did he follow any line of work?
Huh?
Did he follow any line of work very much? Or?
No. That man wouldn't work in a field pie factory. He's my uncle, but oh, he'd work maybe a week or so. But he wouldn't quit that hunting or fiddling. No, sir. No, he married a bishop, first Noah Riddle. And well,
Diddle Bishop.
Riddle. She was a fellow of Diddle Bishop. Bishop was her name, Diddle Bishop. Well, they lived right below Grandpa's. And Ed and she wanted him to go to work. You know, to work for his dad. His dad was a logging on the river. Ed and he wouldn't do, you know. He wouldn't go to work. He just laid around the house, played the fiddle, went a fishing, hunting or something. But she told Grandpa, she said, "Now I'll tell you something. Said, you can tell Edden that if he don't get out and go to work, I'm going to leave him." Well, Grandpap said, "I'll tell him. He had a good woman. She was a nice woman. I remember." So Edden come in that night from playing the fiddle. Had been someplace playing the fiddle for a dance or something. But he come in. Grandpap, he is home. He got to Edden. He told Edden. I said, "Edden, let me tell you something." He said, "Yet your woman's going to leave you if you don't quit playing that fiddle and go to work." And he just looked at him and said, "Let me tell you something. I wouldn't lay down my fiddle for no damn woman." Grandpop said, "All right." Yeah, he told him. And he didn't lay her down. He played on the fiddle.
What did she do?
She left him. She walked off. Then she married Riddle. Lied Riddle. Yeah, she left. Said, "I wouldn't lay my fiddle down for no damn woman." Poor Evan. But now he was good turn to anybody. He treated anybody good, went to his house. And you never went to his house in your life and sit down at his table. He didn't have plenty to eat.
I've heard that both ways.
I know, I've heard it the other way too. But I've eaten Edens, I've stayed at Edens weeks at a time. But then he made it get going around playing the fiddle. Or go to a shooting match, win stuff, something like that. He didn't work. Oh, Edden, I thought a lot of him. He was my uncle. I thought more of him than I uncle I had. Because he fooled me more than any of the rest of them. Oh, if I'd listened to Edden and had done what he wanted me to, I'd have been playing the fiddle today. I started to play. I could play just the most any piece. Anything about he played, I could start or play. Of course, I couldn't play good, but I could start it. And he'd come there and sit at the old man's maybe for 2 and 3 hours, showing me, you know, how to play, how to tune my fiddle, and everything. And I just quit it. Went to fool with an old banjo. Now that's how dumb a fella is when he's young. But now I could play most any piece he played. I remember the first piece ever I tried to play. He was showing me how to play. That was the old Joe Clark. I said, "If you can learn to play that piece, my honor, you can play any of it." And I got like a play. Not very good, but I could play. Oh, me and my wife used to sit, play the night till 11, 12 o'clock for people. She played the banjo and I played the fiddle. Yeah, played for dances. We went and played for dances a lot.
What sort of places did they hold their dances in?
Huh?
What sort of places
just
did they have their dances?
Any place that they had a big enough room to dance in.
People go from house to house?
From house to house. Have dances. But I had a brother now, Mike. Now you won't believe this and I know you won't. But if my sisters was living, I can prove it. I can prove the one of them to live. Now, he was only 8 years old when he died. And I'll bet you $5 that he could take a banjo and he could beat anybody around here playing a banjo. Hmm. Now, he could play anything he wanted to, too.
Did he drown?
You know, he died diphtheria.
Oh.
He was 8 years old when he died.
Was that after a flood?
Huh?
Did he get that diphtheria after a flood?
No, he just took it there at home. Nobody knew. I never heard about it. We got him to the doctor. The doctor said it did there, and that's the first ever I thought about a thing like it. It killed him. But now he could. I bought him a banjo. I was big enough to work. I was working in the woods. But he'd try to, you know, my brother had a banjo there, Bob. Well, just a standard banjo. Well, he'd have to get on the bed and lay back here and lay the head down on the bed and pick it. He was so little he couldn't reach the neck and pick it. No, not stand when he was starting. He'd watch Bob playing, that was my brother. And Bob would let him fool with him. He'd get on the bed and sit there. And Bob would play a piece, he'd play. Anything Bob could play, he could. Finally, he got big enough to kind of hold the banjo, and I was working. I bought him a banjo, a little one. The neck wasn't over that long. Here's a good one. I bought it at Marlington's where I got it. And I brought it to him and gave it to him. Well, I didn't buy it new now. I bought it second hand. This old Pete Hamden girl had the banjo, Fanny. And she bought a big banjo and she was going to sell that. And I just bought it. Give it to him. I'd be danged if he didn't practice up on that. Well, I mean to tell you, he could play. And he wouldn't get out and playing with other kids. No, sir, you'd never see him with another boy playing no playing. He'd go right out, he'd get his banjo and go right out in the old orchard, an apple orchard right to the house, sit in the shade of that apple tree in the summer, and he'd sit right there for half a day and play that banjo. Nobody but just himself. Now, that's the truth. Now, you don't believe that, but
yeah, I
believe
it. I believe it. It seems to me like that might have been how Eden was when he was a kid, too. Huh?
That's the way Eden started the fiddle when he was a kid.
Just played all the time.
Yes. The first he ever tried to play, they said, now, I don't know this, was on cornstalk. He'd watched his dad playing the fiddle, and he was out in the cornfield, and picked up a cornstalk. Cut two strings on it, put a piece on it, and made a bow out of the joint of a cornstalk. You know, they ain't very long. And he went to fooling with that, and he got Leaky to start anything on that old cornstalk. Grandpap heard him and made that fiddle for him.
When did he get his first...
His first fiddle?
Yeah.
Oh, that was... He was... gosh, he was... I don't know. He must have been, I'll say, 17 or 18 year old. He got his first fiddle. He played it, oh boy. No case on it. He carried them all in these flower packs, these 25-pound flower folks. He'd go right out in the rain with it stuck down that flower folk and just take a hold of the top of it and go ahead and die dang. Flower all over the fiddle. we went to dances. They had them there on the Williams River, the berry pickers would come in there to pick berries, you know. Williams River, there's a lot of these old blackberries in there. Oh, there was acres and acres. They'd come from back at Sutton, back down in there, Charleston, Marlington, or Town, Camden, every place down in there. They'd come up in there with wagons. That's all the way it had to come, you know. They'd bring tents. Well, they'd stretch these big tents out, you know, on the ground, had level ground there in the field. I went a many a night with him to them tents to play the fiddle. Here go ahead into that flower set.
Charlie Bell's got a picture of him with that fiddle in the flower set.
Who has?
Charlie Bell.
He has?
Yes, sir.
Well, he can. He, the longest ever I know that and to keep one fiddle was the one he got with a weasel head on it. For the, you know, up at the net, upper end, had a weasel head on it. He kept that fiddle the longest that ever I knew him to keep. And he could play it. He'd sell it or trade it or something, and I'll bet you it wouldn't be a week that he'd have that fiddle back. The old man asked him one day, he traded it to Isaac Bender. That was when we lived out here then. And he had a good fiddle, but he went up to Isaac Bender's, there's a plane. Traded to Isaac Bender, that new fiddle for that old Weasley. Come back with him, he said to Daddy, he said, now I got my fiddle back, and I'm going to keep it. And I don't know, he just seemed like he liked it. It did play good. My brother, the one I was telling you, picked the band. He'd just reach down and pick up a fiddle, and he'd just play any piece you asked him to play. Any of them.
What was that?
My brother, Albert, was his name. Any piece that you asked him to play on that violin, he could play. Now, I hadn't learned him that.
Was that the boy that died?
Mm-hmm. He was only about 7 years old, a little over 7 years old, and he's playing. Well, he'd go and play for dances, and he was only 7 years old. At them ten, yes, sir, he'd go to them tents. They'd fix him a place to get up to sit down. He'd sit there and play the band for until 12 and 1 o'clock in the night. He made a lot of money playing for the dances. Of course, I went to dance, not to play any bands. I like that dancing.
You said the name Isaac Bender a while ago.
Isaac Bender, that's my wife's uncle.
Well, who was Molly Bender? Wasn't she killed some way? Isn't there a ballad about her?
Molly Bender? Oh, that's just a song. I don't know who she was.
Can you sing some of that, Molly Bender?
I just don't know. If I can think of the first of it,
I can.
Come all you young heroes who handled a gun, beware of your shooting after the down sun. For I'll tell you of a circumstance that happened early, that happened young Jimmy and his own love Limey. Jimmy Randall was a hunting on late in the dark. He shot at Molly Bender, well, he missed not his mark. Well, he run up to her and found she was dead. In the fountains of her bosom, they tears Jimmy shed. Well, he run back home again with his gun in his hand. Dearest uncle, dearest uncle, Molly Bender I've killed. Out stepped his old father with his locks turning gray. Stay at home, it's young Jimmy, do not run away. Stay at home, it's young Jimmy, till your trial will draw near. The law of our country will set Jimmy clear. Well, the day of Jimmy's trial, Molly's ghost disappeared. With her apron pinned around her, saying, Jimmy, come clear. You can take all these pretty girls and place them in a row. Molly Bender shone amongst them like mountains of snow. Molly Bender is dead and she's almost her gone. With her apron pinned round her, she was shot for a swan. Now it's getting, because it's getting dusky dark, she shot for a swan. That's old Uncle Pete's son.
Well, now, who was Molly Bender?
No, I don't know, man. I know the book of a lady out there in Nicholas County, the name of Molly Bender. That was,
Was she the one that got shot?
No. She's living the last I know her. She was, that was Uri Bennett. That's Uri Bennett. I don't know a whole lot of them. I forget all their names. Her boys. Girls, she had two or three girls. One of my first cousins married Uri. That was Pete's girl. And the other one married Lehman. That was Pete's girl. I know all that.
Do you think that's a true song?
Huh?
You think that's a
they
true
say
song?
They say this.
Well, where do you think it happened?
Huh? It's supposed to happen in, what is the name of the river? I'll tell you in a little bit. Now, they say, I'm telling this for the truth, people. Don't think I'm a liar. I'm telling it for the truth, for I don't know them. This old crooked neck John Hammonds is the one claimed that that was a true piece, that piece was made of, for that is in, I can't think of that river at all, man.
Big Sandy River?
No, it ain't Sandy. It's right the inside of Cherry. What the world is the name? Not Cranberry. It's on the inside of Cherry. I can't think of it now. Oh, I'll think of it someday.
Now, Crooked Neck John.
Huh?
Crooked Neck John.
Crooked Neck John Hammond, they call him.
Why'd they call him that?
His neck is crooked.
No.
He couldn't straight. Laid right over on his shoulder. That was the old John Hammond, his dad's brother. Damn, the one I showed you the grave, huh? That was Crooked Neck John's brother. Yes.
Well, I suppose most of those old songs were made after something that really happened.
Huh?
Do you think most of those old songs were made for something that really happened?
Why, sure it was. Sure, that's what started the song.
Like the Forked Deer?
Yes, sir.
Where did that start?
Now, that Forked Deer was started, Pete told me, now that's my uncle, that was started from the Middle Fork Williams River, up there at Big Beachy. Yes,
what happened?
Preacher had hunted for, I forget how long, 4 or 5 years. And he killed that Forked Horn Deer, buck, and he made a song up on it. Said, I've been a-hunting for 5 or 6 years, and all that I killed was a Forked Horn Deer. Yes, sir, he had a good song made of that. Oh, yeah. That was a preacher.
Was he the one that rode the deer to the
river? He's the one, no, that is old Blankenship. Floyd Blankenship rode the deer into the river. No, this old preacher, he sung. He made the song up when he's up there camped out. And I know Hip was right. I'm going to tell the truth about that, unless Pete lied. For he come right into Pete's from down the Middle Fork and stopped at Pete's, stayed all night at Pete and told Pete that he killed that deer that day and brought it in. He told Pete, he said, I made a song up on myself and the deer. And Pete said, I want to hear it. He sung it for Uncle Pete. Him and Aunt Emily both told me, and then Pete went playing it on the fiddle. Well, old Floyd could play the fiddle a little. He fooled.
What were the words again that you remember?
Huh?
I've hunted the...
I've been hunting for 5 long years, and all I killed was a Forked Horn Deer.
Remember any more of it?
No, sir, I don't. I never did forget. I forgot all about it. It used to be I could sing a lot of it. He had sung the song about where he was camped on Big Beachy, at the fork of Big Beachy under a rock. He camped under a rock, you know, a big rock put out, right through his camp. He had it all figured out. He had a good song. Now there's no question to that. Now Pete says, namely, that's Aunt Emily, and Uncle Pete said, that's really true. That's the first ever I heard it. Then they all went to playing it. Ed, he went to playing it on the fiddle. Pete, old man Pete. They all went
That's
to play.
Where the Forked Deer.
Yes. Then there's another piece made up of that.
Was that made up on old Floyd?
What? Where he rode the deer in?
Yeah.
No, that was true.
What happened? How did that happen? Tell me that one again.
Well, he was hunting right below John Hamilton's place. Well, you know, old Floyd, he was hardly, he talked funny. But he was back there in the woods and it was a drizzling rain. And he had one of these old hog rifles, you know, that's all they had them days. Of course, John, he lived right there at the mouth of Laurel Run, right where that grave is, just up on the bank above there. Floyd, he went in there and he said, it was raining, he said, told Grandpap, an Edmund name. Of course, now, I wasn't there then, I wasn't in the war. And he said, he heard something out around the hill. He said it just seemed like it was just something would just suck, and then it'd blow it out, and he said, boy, it'd just whistle. He said, I kept slipping on out, it was raining. And he said, now, old man, he said, I got in sight, and there stood that buck. He said, he'd throw his head up and hold his nose open, it'd rain full, and then he'd suck it in and blow it out. Oh, he said, it'd make the awful strike if you ever hear it.
That's a pretty picture.
And he said, I shot it. And he said, when I shot it, it fell. He said, I just run out to it and set my gun down by a tree. Never loaded these guns or nothing. He said, I just straddled it. He said, it tickled me so well I killed it. He said, it was a big one. He said, I didn't more than get a straddle of it till up hit God. Took right off of the hill down to the river. Well, it wasn't far to the river, a couple of hundred yards maybe. And he said, I couldn't get my hand off to get my knife out to cut it through. He higher-lipped, you know, he talked funny. He said, I just catch both horns. I thought, I'll just ride you into the river and drown you. He did. He rode it clear into the river, but it happened. Grandpap was on the bank of the river where it come in. They called it the Lower Stand. But he was in there, some of them would have tied the dogs back, chasing deer in, you know, and they'd put him on that stand. Grandpap said he heard it coming. Oh, he said, make an officer like coming through the woods and brush, you ever hear it? And he said, he turned around to shoot it, and he said, when he turned around to shoot it, here he seen a man on it. And he said, he didn't know who it was that was going to fight. He said, they went right on, right off of the bank into the river. Well, the river was up. Williams River was rough, you know, and it was just a rolling. John, our grandpap, said. He said when they jumped off in that hole of water, he said under both of them went. And he said he stood there and waited and waited and waited, and he said directly up they come. But he said when they come up, he'd got a hold of old deer's head and was swinging off on the side. The deer had got him off of its back, you know, old Floyd did. But he said when he got up, he hollered to Grandpap. Now, he saw Grandpap on the bank, for Grandpap had run right down the edge of the river, you know. He said, take me out, old man. Well, Grandpap said, I couldn't take him out. He said, under they went. Well, he said, when they went under, I said, he run down. Grandpap, did you know where the riffle was? It wasn't so deep. I was going to wade out in to try to catch him out there if he come down to him and the deer. And he said, he waited a good little bit just now, he said, up to coming. When they come up, old Floyd could catch the bottom with his feet. Said he looked over and seen Grandpap, and he hollered to Grandpap. He said, just never mind, old man. Grandpap said he held that deer right there and held its head right under the water. It couldn't hit the bottom, and he drowned it. Comes hauling it out through the river, too. Now, Grandpap said that's the truth. When he come out, he didn't have nothing on him but his galluses. That was all that was left. His pants tore off, his shirt tore off, he lost his shot pouch and lost his gun. His socks, the grandpap said, and you know they wore moccasins, them homemade moccasins. He said he laid his socks even tore off. And oh, he said he just scratched all the pieces, scarred, where he'd hit trees and brush and stuff. Hallie said it's cold. Grandpap said it is really cold weather. Well, he said, old man, I said, let's go hunt my gun. Grandpap said, well, I don't know where your gun is. I set it down by a tree now. He said, I can find it, I believe. Grandpap said, you'd better get to the house to get some clothes on. And get warmed up, you're going to freeze to death. Just never mind old Floyd, he said, no, ma'am. Let's find my gun. Grandpap said, you could track the way they come off of the hill. So he took the back track, got about halfway where he lost his gun. Here he found part of his clothes going all along the field, you know, through the woods. They just tore off pieces here and yonder. Well, Grandpap said you could track him to the clothes. But he found the shot pouch. We jerked it off, broke the strop, hit it, fell off. Went on up, we shot the deer, and old Floyd walked right over and picked up his gun. He said, now here's my gun, old man, but it ain't loaded. Now, Grandpap said that was the truth. And I believe it was. He wouldn't have told you that. The Grandpap wouldn't up and tell you something like that unless it was.
He was a pretty good fiddler, too.
Yeah.
When was the last time you ever heard him play?
When he was down. The night he died. I'm telling you, he played the bony parts of the tree and the drunken hiccups, I believe it was.
You were sitting there playing for him, weren't you?
Now, that's, huh?
Weren't you sitting playing for him there?
I was sitting there playing, you know, trying to play on Daddy's fiddle. He was sitting over on a chair. He was clear out of his mind. He didn't know me. He didn't know nobody. And I was playing that, trying to play that bony parts of tree. He just looked over at me and said, you ain't a playing that right. Your fiddle ain't in tune. Give me the fiddle. Well, Dad was sitting there about 12 o'clock the night. I said, Dad, will I give him the fiddle? I was afraid he'd throw it down. You know, you'd give him anything, and if he didn't want it, you'd better get a hold of it. And he'd hit the floor right there. I said, Dad, will I give you all the fiddle? Well, Dad, he said, yes. Give it to him. I just dragged it over to him. He just sat down. His fingers seemed limber than mine, just as limber as they could be. He just tuned that fiddle, and now he tuned the two hitters in tune. And he went to playing the bony parts of the tree. I mean, he played it. He played that piece, and he just whirled over on that drunken hiccups, and you never heard nothing like that in your life. Now, honest to God, that was the prettiest thing you ever heard, or I thought it was. And he played that, and he just shoved the fiddling bow out at me. He said, here. And I just grabbed it. Now, he said, you can play. I said, no, I can't. I just went back and put the fiddle in the case and went on him to that.
And then he died that night.
He died that night, next morning about 4 o'clock. Now that was something. Now people wouldn't believe that. That's true. The old man had a fiddle, one of them what they called the three-quarter size. You know what they were. Got it off of the, I believe he got it from Montgomery Ward Company. They were serving Roebuck. I forget which he ordered it. Yes, sir, he played them two pieces. My mother got up out of her bed. She was laying in the next room. She got up and come to the door and stood and listened at him play. And there was another fellow there. He's dead now. That was my first cousin. You know, his dad and him played the fiddle some. He got up and listened at that play. After he died next morning, next day it was, he said to me, Bernard did, that was his name. He's named after my uncle. He said, did you ever hear a fiddle sound like that last night? I said, no, I didn't. He said, that was the prettiest thing ever I heard. But now he'd have thrown that fiddle down if I hadn't got a hold of it. He would. Anything he didn't want, he'd throw it down. He had dropsy. And as soon as them dropsy busted on him, he died. Oh my Lord, his leg down here, bigger than my leg up there. His feet, he couldn't put on a shoe. He just wore no sock that made a moccasin out of it, you know, for him to wear around the house. Yeah.
You've never told me much about the kind of clothes you wear and stuff like that when you were a kid. Did your mom spin a lot of the...
He made my clothes.
Spun Lindsay Woolsey, was it? Or?
Right. She He spun them out of wool and weaved them on a balloon. She'd knit my socks, spin them on a spinning wheel, then she'd knit them with knitting needles. And her coats, they called them wampuses. Yeah, that's what they called them, wampuses. They made a collar just like a coat, but they only made the sleeves would have just a thing, you know, drawn around your arm. And then the tail here, when you buttoned it, it had a thing in it that just like that sweater. It was just sucked tight. I guarantee no wind to get to that. They wouldn't leak. You could just go out and it could just rain all day. You'd come back in, you was dry, but you'd better turn it wrong side out and you hung it up. It did the next morning, the inside is wetter than the outside. That's right.
And that wool probably had a lot of oil in it.
Oh, yeah. Just shear it off my sheep, you know, and wash it. And then spin it. Oh, I set a many and a many night till 12 o'clock a carding for.
How did you do that?
Two little old cards, you know, they're just two things like that, and they had.
Like curry combs?
Yes, only they were bigger. They was great big handles on them, and they had little wire teeth. Oh, it was full of that. And when you lay your wool on there and start pulling it like that, had to straighten it out, just straight as it could be, and take all the dirt out of it. Well, then you could lay it on again, and then just start like that, lay it on the back. It would make the prettiest little roll, yes. Now I've set in cards many times.
So then you had this
then
roll
set,
about this long.
Yeah.
It was just loose and fluffy.
Then she'd take that, and you could take that and put it on the spinning wheel, which is spun, and put it on the spool. Well, when you go to spin, start the spool, but don't put it in the fly. Just let it hit the spool, and just keep putting them together, stripping it out like that and making it smaller.
Was it a big walking wheel she had?
Oh, yes, a great...
Or a treadle wheel?
Yeah, pedal. You just stepped on it. The walking wheel you talk about, that is the reel. That's where you reel her up. Start that and then take walking back and lead her up to let her roll it up. That made it in the hanks, they called it. She had all that. And they had a check reel that they checked her yarn on like they get it hank. Well, you'd want to know how much you had in this hank of ours. Or yarn, you know, hank, they're that way long, and then you double them. You hook it on that check reel and give it a start like that and just take back and come right on up to it. And when you come up to it, when they got 101 thread in that hank, kabat, that thing and go with a little hand on it. It'll just crack, jump over on the other. That was 101 thread, and you could count them and hit exactly that's what it was. If you set it on the zero when you started.
Do some people use the word skein when they
skein,
mean hank?
Yeah.
Is that the same
thing? That's the same thing. Skein, the hank's the same thing. But the old people called it hank on yarn. Then she'd sit and spin, sit there and sing and spin, maybe to 12 and 1 o'clock.
What did she sing?
Just some old piece.
Like what? Sing me a song.
Oh, I don't know. I can't sing none of her songs. I wouldn't try to learn them. She died. I used to be, I could sing them. She'd sing that little spar. And she could sing that Tis Love Nancy, I'm a Fancy. The White Pilgrim Maid, all that stuff. Oh, yes, boy, she could sing. Sit there and sing. Honest, she'd sit there and sing till 12, 1 o'clock in the night. Spin. I'd sit there and hang, boy. I didn't mind none of it, but washing the wool and picking it out, cleaning it. Now, that was a job. Everything had to be cut out, picked out, threw out in my pocket. Then you wash the wool, put it in water and wash it.
Laid out on a bush to dry?
Laid out on had a thing you laid it out on, just spread it out, something like that table on it, had screens on the bottom of it. Just lay her out there, one whole fleek, you know, just laid out. Street. And
where did she get her spinning wheel?
Grandpa Baldwin made them. He made every one of his kids a spinning wheel and a check reel and a hang. No, I don't know. He made all of them. Made them a loom. Every one of them.
Was it those big looms like the barn
big
loom?
Big loom.
What
yes.
They call a barn loom?
That's right. Just like that in the, you seen that in the Charleston? They had there last summer, a year ago. I never seen it last summer.
I guess so, yeah.
Down
yeah.
in the basement.
Yeah.
Just like that. Had pedals, you know. You see, your pedals went under here for your reed. The reeds went across like that. Well, you had a shell where you put your thread in. Well, you trunk them pedals. Now, if you went like you were going to spin a carpet for a floor or something, you only trunk two. That opened it up for two. Well, then you just took that shell and threw it through there, and he'd come through to that side and just kick it. Pull it like that, and give it a twist under the other one edge of the yarn or the other, and then just chomp your two treadles and throw her back. Just keep her going.
But were those called harnesses?
Yeah. Now, you, the, like pants, that is jeans, they call them. You had to trump four pedals for that. It was harder to work, you know, then. They've made a lot of that out of flax. You know for flax.
It grows. It's like a...
Yeah.
What is it like?
It's just like hemp. Same thing, something like it. Take it in a certain time, you peeled it, then took and stripped it. Stripped the outside off and left the inside, hemp. Now you could take a little thread of that as big as a spool thread and you couldn't break it. I'd give you $5 if you break it to your hand. And they have a string as long as near over the wall.
So they mixed the flax and the wool?
Yeah.
They? To give it strength.
They take this flax and spin one hank of hitch, you know. Well, then they'd take it off and they had the double the yarn, you know, where they spin. They'd first run a single, then they had the doublet. Then's when they'd put the flax in there and hit went into the yarn and doubled it up. Oh boy, you put that on, man, you could wear a pair of pants from now on. That's the way they raise their kids. He made them all on spinning wheels, and tanks, check reels, cards. The hardest thing he said was to make about a spinning wheel was the spool. The fly, he said, there's nothing to make of the wheel. Now he said, and then he went to making the spool.
Did he have a treadle lathe
he worked with? He had a turning lathe with water.
Oh, with water?
Drumming. Oh, he made his own chisel. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. The wheels, he said he'd make them easy. Just like a wagon wheel, you put spokes in it, you know, with a hub down here. Then it had a place in it where there's a belt run on that wheel. That run the fly. Spoon. Make them flies, and they had hooks that come out there. They're round, but they come off at a sharp point. They had hooks out of wire, so far around like that. When you run it into look from where your spool was, you brought it through like that and hooked it on this first. Then you start it and hit it a fly, hit it run that way, and hit it run till this fly'd come, and then it'd come to the next. It had gone and got to the end. And when you got there, you had about two hanks of yarn. You could check them out. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, the many a night. She'd sit and sing. I'd get so sleepy like it in secret.
Did they make some pretty good whiskey on the Williams River?
Oh yeah. Yes, sir, they made good whiskey.
What was the recipe? How'd they make it?
Huh?
What was a good recipe for it?
Well, they made the best whiskey out of corn. They called the malted whiskey. They sprouted the corn, made the whiskey out of that. Didn't have no sugar at all in it. Just take, they put the corn in a trough, you know, and sprout. They put water over, warm water. That didn't take long. The sprouts would be out on it that long. And they take that sprouted corn, put it in, made malt. That is the malt. Put it in their bar or trough, whatever they had, and let it work and sour, you know. It took it a long time, malted whiskey.
How long did it take?
Oh, sometime take a month.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, you'd only get about, like, you would take, say, a bushel of corn, sprout it, put it in there and work it and run it. If you got 2.5 gallons, 3 gallons of whiskey, it done good.
But was that Singlin's whiskey then?
No, that is doubled. Oh, they never used the Singlin. Uh-oh, they wouldn't drink that.
Make you blind, huh?
Yeah, they claimed it's poison. When they doubled her, she was doubled. And the most of them had a sump barrel, you know, to run it through. You didn't have to double it on the still. You could run it through that sump tub. It doubled itself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So there's one process and they got it all.
You had it come from the still into this sump tub. And they come into this sump tub out of this coil. There was another and catched it there, but this one had set over here, he'd only caught the whiskey. The other one had run out the side, let the water and stuff grow, all that sour instead. Oh, when she come out through that thump tub, she was good.